have in attendance Alderman Butcher, Alderman Cope, Alderman Funkhauser, along with myself.
And we have a quorum. Is there any citizens' comments in person or in Zoom?
Nobody on Zoom.
Nobody on Zoom.
All right, so then we will go to minutes for correction or approval for January 4th, 2022.
I'm good.
I'll work for me.
All right, going on to new business, EDC 2022-08, the building permit report for December 2021. Mr. Rados.
Good evening. In December, we ended up adding eight single-family detached homes, and a total of 49 permits were issued. It ended up being about $1.4 million in construction value, a little slower December than last year was. And I think that has to do with the weather was a little bit different this year. And last year, we had a really dry December. This year, we actually got a little bit of snow at the end of the year, so we're kind of slowing down with the cold, too.
All right. Anybody have any questions on the building permit report, Mr. Funkhauser?
Pete, when you look at this, do you see any difference in terms of an increase on single-family homes month over month or year over year that you can pinpoint?
It's kind of hard to say exactly. One of the reasons why we're down this month compared to December last year is that, if you notice, last month we had an influx of permits from Lennar, so they had actually given us like a permit dump, which was like 25, 30 permits, and a couple of different people did that. So they were trying to be on top and get their foundations in December, so they pushed the permits earlier there than normally would. That's the only thing I can tell, and honestly, anymore, everyone's just kind of running like crazy, and the projections have been all over the board that they've been talking about. So it's just kind of, as they keep selling, they'll keep building them. And like Lennar is the big one right now as far as just pushing numbers.
Thank you. All right, moving on. EDC 2022-09, building inspection report for December 2021.
All right, in December we did 695 inspections total. Vast majority of those were the single family home ones. That's also including some engineering inspections, roughly 100 of those. We are still outsourcing to BNF, the overflow inspection we have. We're currently training a new property maintenance inspector, which will free up our old property maintenance inspector to pick up more inspections. So we're hoping to see that number not decrease because the busy season's coming, but the percentage of inspections outsourced decreased in the near future. I'd say within a month, hopefully get everything wrapped up and get going on doing more stuff in-house again.
Perfect. I do have one question. Out of those inspections, how many were for the county, or did we have any?
We did not do any for the county during this time period. Brian, the code official from the county, is very tries to be as conscientious as possible. He only uses us at his last resort.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, just one. So, Pete, you talked about the fact that you have a new staff member being trained. I know staffing's been a concern about making sure we can deal with the influx of the permits. Do we think we are going to be needing another staff person? Just looking at our staffing as it is and looking at permits and projections, would it be wise to be bringing on somebody else if we contemplated or planned that?
Well, we did talk about this. I know Bart and Christy and I and the mayor talked about this. Right now, the staffing level we're at, it's kind of like we could add two more full-time staff and maybe be able to cut off having third-party inspections. But the issue with that is then we have all the other things that go with having other more staff members. So I think at this time we're good. Building department-wise, I'm working with my staff. We're building their knowledge base to increase what they can inspect and get certifications. So I think we're doing good right now. I think any more rapid growth, we'd have to hire highly experienced inspectors, which right now are almost $90,000 to $95,000 a year, plus benefits. So I think we're good where we're at right now for building department-wise. I can't speak for planning or anyone else.
Yeah, if I could just add on to that, we are reviewing staff requests and other requests as part of the budget process, which should be released here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. There is not anything in there related to inspectors at this time, but that can always change.
And then second part of that, are we still trying to use ENF just for the larger projects, larger inspections and commercial type uses, or have that, is that infiltrated into some of the smaller permit approvals?
It has gone to some of the smaller, but in general, BNF has been predominantly relegated to doing our larger builders like Lennar or the Abbey properties, the things that have been doing the same inspection over and over again. That way, for myself, I can just go out there once a week, I can check behind BNF, make sure everything's going according to plan, there's nothing being missed. And then their inspectors that we use get used to doing the same things over and over again. I don't want to throw any curveballs at them and have them work with our custom builders or semi-custom builders when things sometimes kind of go off script.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, EDC 2022-10. Property maintenance report for December 2021. Mr. Rios, you're up again.
Sir, in December we end up hearing 11 cases. So of those, the first one is the weeds and grass. That's a chronic problem. The properties is always weeds and grass on Henning. The other ones, they're all in the Carly and the Blackberry Wood subdivision. Those are all, I believe, those are actually all Meadowbrook lots that were left there. A lot of that has to do with them having them. They went through to their punch list. They piled the concrete on the lots and the in dumpsters, so with that being there, they didn't ever go out and cut any of the weeds or grass. So with us having snow so late, you know, 3 foot weeds are still 3 foot weeds, even if it's in December.
All right.
That's about it.
Looks like some of it's getting cleaned up.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I think that was the last one.
Thank you.
EDC 2022-11, Economic Development Report for January 2022. Ms. Lynn.
Hi, everybody. So you have a report there, and Williams Group is here. They're coming up. Bright Farms, I didn't include it on here, but we're spending a lot of time kind of working through a lot of the different nuances on that project. And I wanted to make sure to encourage you to take a look to read about this program that's going to start here in Yorkville. CDC, they're coming actually to Yorkville next week. They're going to be spending like 2.5 days here, the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Their goal is to be over by the health department on the county campus. Although it's not a big deal. They have four big trailers that will be brought in, set up. The program will run from July the 6th to August the 15th. That's when people will be brought over to the health department area site and for this program to go through. And I also want to encourage you to click on that link and watch the video, because as you read this, it's like, it's interesting, but the video does a great job in a short amount of time to really explain what to expect. So, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of education from CDC, working with the health department. That's really their main plug-in on this. So it'll be about 23 people from the CDC that will be staying here in Yorkville from July 6th to August 14th. And we are one of 15 locations nationwide. Every year there are 15 locations selected. And I think this is the first time that Kendall County has ever participated. Do you have any other questions? Or?
No, I think you got everything on there. I did stop at the Kendall Meat Market on, was that Saturday?
Oh, yes, Kendall Meat, yes.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff. I did take home a rack of ribs, and they were phenomenal. But
yeah.
So it's something different in town, so it's exciting. Thank you for all you do, because obviously that makes a big difference.
You're welcome. And you're also the true entrepreneur, right? That partners, and they really have a desire to do a lot more things. So they open to the public on Thursday.
That's what I thought. You know, it's just
Thursday, at 10 a.m.
Awesome. Perfect. Anything else that you have for us?
Not the same.
Great, thank you. Anybody have any questions for Lynn? Moving on, EDC 2022-12, resolution approving the intergovernmental agreement for reciprocal building inspection services between the United City of Yorkville and Kendall County. Who's going to grab this one?
So this is our annual contract or agreement update that we do in forwarding our ability to share building inspection services with Kendall County. We've been doing this since about 2016, actually 2014. In 2016, we started tracking how many of our inspections we were doing for the county and how many the county was doing for us. So in 2021, we did 10 inspections for Kendall County, and there were zero city inspections conducted by Kendall County for the city. So we're continuing the agreement as is. No changes, and if you have any questions, I'm here. Thought we may have someone from the county here, but we don't. But the agreement is attached for your review.
You guys have any questions?
One thing I noticed is the past 4 years, it has been one-sided. We've done nothing for the county. The county has done no inspections for us. We've done more. However, there's been a significant drop off of need for mutual inspections as it is. So while the county's not doing as much for us, it's still good, I think, to have this backup in place as needed. In 2016 to 2017, right, we started tracking. So, you know, it's much more mutually beneficial. But for our side of things, it is good that I think we needed it. If staff needed it, we have that backup. So, well, it's one-sided right now, that can easily flip, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. How many, what is the ratio of inspectors, what we have versus what they have? Does anybody know that?
Yeah, we're basically 5-1. They only have one inspector on staff there, plus a part-time plumbing inspector. And we have technically 5 inspectors, 4 building inspectors, 1 property maintenance, who also has certification in building inspection, but we're not utilizing in that fashion yet because you just started.
Okay. Do you know how many inspections they do that one inspector does per year for Kendall County? Because obviously it's a little bit different than being in a city where you're in a lot more growth.
I'm not sure exactly. I can get that information for you, but I believe when I talked to Brian last year, he said they were somewhere in the ballpark of, I think he averages between 5 and 11 a week.
Okay.
It's not many.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. Anything else on that? Anybody have any questions or? All right. Moving on, EDC 2022-13, redevelopment agreement between Yorkville and the Williams Group LLC.
Yeah, we've got a nice memo, proposal from the Williams Group, who's here in order to present and ask or answer questions at the end of my brief review here. This is a fairly standard downtown TIF redevelopment agreement. There are no upfront commitments by the city. They're asking for only, TIF increment as they generate it on one of the parcels within their broader property. So there is a map in the packet as it relates to the riverfront easement, which I'll get into here in a second. You know, there's multiple PIN numbers. They own basically most of the property from the old post office all the way over to Route 47, but they are only proposing to renovate currently the vacant building that housed the Investor Tools business for a number of years. And that's generally the northeast corner of the property, north of the northwest corner of Bridge Street and Hydraulic. So they're not touching the arched building with the trusses. They're not touching the larger warehouse that is labeled as Red's Baseball in there. They are looking to just do the vacant part of the building. So this deal covers that only. And they'll go over what they're thinking with their property in general. But The deal is basically they're going to complete the projects as they're about to present, and then we are going to waive half of a building permit is the deal that we've negotiated, and they're going to give us a riverfront easement stretching all the way from the old post office all the way to Route 47 in a location of the scope to be determined. We haven't done any of the planning or the design on how wide it needs to be or if there's areas that pose a problem, so we're going to work that out later. And a smaller art easement generally at the northwest corner of Hydraulic and 47. In exchange, they're going to get 25% of their total project cost investment, which they're estimating to be at about $1.6 million. The vast majority of that is their acquisition cost for the entire property at $1.2 million. So we have absolutely no issues there with TIF eligibility as far as total incentives go, because land acquisition is a TIF eligible expense. So their maximum incentive over the life of the TIF, regardless of whether it's extended or not, is 25% of the $1.6 million, and then they have to certify that later. And that bucket will be filled up with 75% of the increment generated each year on only the 006 parcel, which generally houses that vacant parcel. So it does not include any of the other vacant properties because they might have plans for that down the road. We review that at a later date, but that's the basics of the TIF deal. It is relatively simple TIF deal compared to the last few that we've done in that there's no brownfield issues, there's no upfront funding. It's basically they perform, they complete the project, and then they get, you know, a little bit of revenue each year from their increment. So the 006 parcel where the vacant property is actually generating about $5,000 in increment currently. And so in order to get 75% of that or whatever the new taxes end up being after they complete it, they just have to make sure that the easements are all signed off on, given to us. And then we worry about that here approximately a year and a half to 2 years from now. With that, I'll turn it over to the Williams Group. If you guys want to introduce yourself and kind of talk through your project, I've got it up here on the projector if you want me to walk through it. Yep. Well, as soon as I learn how to drag a window across the screen here. This, I'm going to do start on the first floor. Yep. Everybody can see that in Zoom land? Great.
Okay, so you did a pretty good job going over that slide, just an outline of the properties you're buying, what's going to be rented, what's vacant. First floor here.
Oop. Hit the wrong button. There we go.
So it's a little bit hard to see the colors on the screen. If you have printed out packets, it should be a little bit easier. But we're going to divide into three retail units on the ground floor. It's currently all office space. So we're going to have, you know, 101, 103, 105. Unit 101, if you pull down just a little bit more, it shows the text. That unit is kind of the rear unit of the building. The front wall on 47 is basically all glass, and it has exclusive access to the deck along the river. So we did pre-lease that to Rico Bianchi, who runs Fox's Den Meadery. He's going to use that first floor to sort of his tasting room, and he's also going to rent a large portion of the basement for his actual production facility. None of the other units are pre-leased yet. Unit 105 and unit 103. Obviously, unit 105, that's the next premier unit. It's got another front wall that's basically all glass along 47. We can anticipate that lasting very long once we start advertising it. And then unit 103 in the back, we're not really doing too much of this unit. It's already currently set up as the three individual rooms with a shared bathroom. So it could have retail applications, but it also doesn't have a storefront like the other two on 47, so it could also end up being office space. We're not sure yet. And then we are adding a common hallway all the way through the building, along with two ADA bathrooms and a new staircase in the basement. It's currently the only way to get to the basement is in a closet in one of the rooms for the heater. He's not going to be renting the entire basement, so that made it a little difficult to get our space. All right, second floor is going to be divided into two apartments. So we have the main penthouse in the front and then the two-bed apartment in the back. Start with the two-bed. Not really changing the footprint in here very much. It already has an existing kitchen and a full bathroom along with two pretty large offices. So we're essentially going to keep that how it is. We are going to add a closet for a washer and dryer. And then obviously the wall front one, we're going to do a little bit more. We are going to add a slide door, and that size is approximately the following side to really take advantage of the riverfront. And then we're going to turn that primary bedroom. We're going to have basically everything to the left of that would be new. So the master bathroom, walk-in closet, toilet room, pantry, and then another half bath. And that's where the green power lines are. That's going to be the kitchen, so it's going to be up against that side wall that would be high from the sink and the dishwasher and all that. So our idea is to really maximize the view from that unit. We don't want any blocking any windows, so you can basically see the river from where we want. Basement, pretty simple. We have the new staircase, and then everything below the liner that's highlighted, that's where we're going to be leasing for production. Everything above that, we're just going to retain for our own storage. And a little bit on the budget. Obviously, you've got the acquisition costs, you got our general renovation, which we estimate. Obviously, all these are subject to change and what the actual costs end up being, but we're estimating around $206,000 general renovation. About $130,000 to add a fire, new fire alarm system and sprinkler system, which will involve we need to connect in with a new 6-inch line hydraulic and run it into the building and do a complete install of the sprinkler system on the basement first and second floor. Architectural cost signage, outdoor lighting, we're going to add some lights on the front of the building because currently there are no lights on the front. Landscaping costs, we would like to trim a lot of the trees and the brush along the water. Permits we discussed, and then legal interest costs. So, we need to talk about the specifics of the agreement.
Yeah. So there are a couple draft exhibits. This is the, you know, just the general outline of the riverfront easement showing that generally it stretches from the bridge all the way over to the old post office. So we have to determine the exact scope of that at a later date. And then we've got just an illustration of the building permit fees. So it doesn't include anything going to the school, doesn't include anything going to YBSD. It's basically, you know, our building permit fee, plan review fees, connection fees, etc. And while this is a bit of a hodgepodge here with, you know, waiver 50%, 0, 100, the general add up is that it's all 50%. So the easiest way for us to do this is to do 50% of some of these fees up here, but there's two apartment units that generate, each one has their own building permit fee. So we said just waive all of the slightly larger one, because that's a little bit easier from a an administration perspective. So that's a sample of what we're talking about here. So some of these fees are variable, so depending when they actually submit plans, you know, they'll go up or down by $10, $20, but that's the gist of it. And then, there's a memo from Christy in the packet here, talking about all the different planning documents that we've done over the past several years, the highlight the need for a riverfront easement, and then the RV easement here, which I skipped over, but it is generally in this location down here. And we're not thinking anything large. It might be, you know, 5x5, depending on the art piece that we end up wanting to do. But we'd like to protect, you know, a little bit of that so that whenever they decide to develop the property further, you know, we at least have that concept, you know, front of mind to address at some point or another. With that, I'm going to stop sharing and take anybody's questions.
Just one little one that I noticed is when you ride a bike and you come down here to this corner, it's kind of jiggly, like, sure. So you can go across the bridge.
Yep.
It might be nice if they straighten that out a little bit to make it a little more. I think you have to kind of cut around a pole and then do a jaunt to get back onto the sidewalk. It's really kind of hairy down in there, so
yeah,
I can fix that somehow.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. Some of that is within the right-of-way and is going to be an IDOT or a city issue, depending
right.
if we want to do it. And some of it might be for their building. They are only looking for exterior improvements on the facade of the building of basically putting in a couple doors. So they're going to keep the eastern facade of the building that faces 47.
Looking at the cost, I think the cost would be a little light. The $400,000 is estimated. that number will fluctuate potentially based on what the actuals are. So it could go up, yep. could go down. I'm assuming it's going to go up because I assume the construction costs
yeah. The agreement is drafted as percentages. That's usually how we do it. So we list that as a general, you know, approval. So things have to be in line with that. If somebody came in and said, well, you know, now we're doing a $10 million building, you know, we'd have the ability to pull that back and say, you know, we need to re-talk this. And then as part of their disbursements to us, they have to submit invoices and evidence of work completed before Kathy would sign off on any TIF disbursement in the future. And that's for every TIF project.
And then I know the memo references the downtown overlay district, the form-based code. Mm-hmm. This is a minor exterior improvement, but I assume everything with that complies with the FWC, allowing it to easily get through staff approvals for that kind of thing, which is not really what we're looking at, since that's intended to just be approved and authorized by staff.
Yep.
We're just looking at the agreement for the TIF. I don't have an issue with this. I think it's good to move it forward. I'm willing to say there's a pretty good market for rentals for a couple of apartments down there. One large, one small, but definitely nice right on the corner there of the river, which or more. And I'm going to ask, is there any consideration for future development of the other two parts of the buildings? Redevelopment or tear down? Obviously, this building is the best component of the entire parcel, I believe, because it's only, 1957, 58.
Yeah.
So integrity is pretty good. The others, not so much. What would be your thoughts moving forward?
We have a long-term plan that on your back on the first floor, we've got the dog training facility. That part of the building would stay long-term. We do envision the future where the warehouse where the Reds is no longer there. We developed that ground up. They do have 3.5 years left on their lease, so we can't do anything until that point anyway.
Correct.
But our main focus, once this is done, is to tackle that corner lot. That would be our target for development. This is done.
Anybody else have questions? I got a couple. So with the metering, is there any outdoor space for that, or is it just like an indoor tap room?
So we'll have the deck.
Okay.
Existing on the side, that'll be outdoor space.
And then with the metering being there and having some apartments, is there certain hours that you have to keep so it's not too noisy for the tenants?
Haven't really explored that. Kind of an issue that we'll probably tackle if it comes up. Nice part about the building is four concrete floors, so
yeah.
It's going to be pretty quiet and dampening sound.
They would have to apply for a liquor license, so whatever liquor license classification they chose, they would have to abide by that, which is subject to our review from time to time, obviously. And then just a note, since I have a little bit of personal experience, not necessarily with this metery, but meteries in general, the product itself is a pretty high-end craft beer type of product. It's not cheap. And you probably won't find too many people, wandering in there and spending hours and hours there because their bill would be quite high. So from what I'm aware of and have visited in my personal life, most of these are, fairly high-end tap rooms that don't have police issues and usually have pretty limited hours because they also are not a place that you probably stumble into at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You're probably doing that, before or after dinner and, spending a little bit of money and then heading on your way. So.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I just thought of another question. So what is the easement that would run along the river? How much space is there on that easement?
We don't know yet. So that's what we have to figure out. Because
what would just, if you had to just guess, best guess?
I mean, it might be 10 feet in some areas, it might be 20, it might be 30. I mean, we have not done any of the planning on that yet. And so it's going to depend on the topography of the area, where the building is. It might be shrunk closer to the tap room patio. It might be a little
that's
bit wider.
That's where
in
I was wondering, because
yeah.
It seems like it's really narrow.
There's a good amount of space there. And if it's what we're envisioning is that the Riverwalk area would be something like they already put in place down by the dam. where it's closer to the water's edge.
Yep.
And we're actually looking at it would be a great enhancement for the building to have that run along there, and it would be a great visual for anybody that's sitting out there at the meadery. And so we're envisioning that there's plenty of space.
Okay, I just wondered, it seems kind of narrow at that one corner there. That's why I was curious if you have enough space.
Definitely. I mean, it'll be tighter in some areas, and it'll be a little bit wider in others.
And there's no like shoring or erosion control or anything that needs to be done right now.
That'll be part of the building permit process. Okay. So they'll take a look at whatever they're planning on doing, at least for their building, and then engineers might have to get involved. Pete might have different recommendations there too. But my guess is probably not, based on how far away the building is from the shoreline. So.
But the easement is for us. Any improvements in terms of walkway, trail, and that would be something we would look to do in the future.
Yes.
Expecting the developer to do that, which is good. So that would be the first floor. Riverfront. Does that balcony connect to the walkway that faces Route 47, or does it have the potential to connect?
No.
Okay. It is separated physically?
Yes.
Okay. My thought is that's our opportunity, that walkway is the opportunity to connect down to the riverfront with either a stair or a ramp, as long as it's not connected to your balcony for the meter. And then, of course, the second story, that's its own private balcony. And then, will there be private or reserved parking for the residential units in the parking lot? Okay. Because I know there's plenty of parking for the use here, but it can get pretty chaotic. I want to make sure that any residential units
can. That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I know that's one thing Christy had went through with them during our first meeting, just having adequate parking and meeting the minimum standards and then dedicating certain areas. So that's something they're working through.
Any other questions? No old business. No additional business.
On the TIF deal, are we okay with that moving to the next city council meeting?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Regular report, I'm guessing?
Regular report.
Is that everything you talked about?
I think so.
We really didn't interruption. Where it's going.
What's
I can assume sometimes you get a wildly wrong. So.
This one?
Yeah, this one twice. So,
yeah, unless otherwise nobody is consent. Hello.
I don't know if it'd stay there, but.
Hey, someone wants to pull it in.
You're saying you wanted
it? No.
Okay, I was saying, wait a second.
We're saying everything but this one.
Everything but this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no problem.
Perfect. Any citizen comments? All right, well, then we will call.
Can we do additional?
Yeah.
He did.
Sorry, we kind of rolled in. Additional business, part of the email that we've had going back and forth regarding lobbying. Development up here is the best place. That's something that kind of came up professionally for me. We had a conversation on it, and it just kind of triggered what's going on with this. It seemed a little outlined, so there was a law that's passed that expands the lobbying rules, and it appears that there's some confusion with it, surprising the state of Illinois, that any developer soliciting with the state and the aspect of trying to lobby or get approvals could be considered a lobbying purpose for the state. So we've been going back and forth trying to understand and get clarification. Kathy's opining. I know your last comment was Metro West. Mm-hmm. Might be good to get involved on this one, which I'd appreciate that because that could have impact for anyone dealing with the municipality if they're trying to seek approvals at certain levels based on the compensation.
Yeah, we don't think that there's any change in anything that the city needs to do. We don't need to register, we don't think. So we don't think that there's any internal issues as much as it will be. You might have more people that deal with us you might have people that deal with us that have to register as a lobbyist and then file reports and stuff. So that's what's being figured out. Because currently, municipal lobbying is not regulated. So we don't have to.
But part of the consideration was as do we have to register as lobbyists as well? And Kathy cleared that part up real quick.
Yep.
No.
But the law is very 4 feet done. So
done.
It raised some red flags for me. So this will be something hopefully we can do some updates and get clarification sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
I hate, because what they did do is there are fines.
Oh.
There, so they didn't make it very clear, but they do have penalties that are pretty well defined.
Yep.
Of course they do that.
Okay.
So that's good. It's something to bring up.
Yep. Understood.
All right, no more old or additional business. We already talked about citizen comments again. We're good. So we will adjourn at 6:35.
Right.
Nice. Just for the record, it was 6:33 as I projected. It wasn't until
2.